Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Denton joins us every Thursday to talk some college football, though I did see you retweeted like these game picks for Monday night. And I'm asking you this question. You got a kick out of somebody predicting that the Bears would win 73-0. Do you know what the significance of 73-0 is?
Oh, come on, Kevin. I know I'm young, but I'm a student of the game. That was the joke. That's a, like, if you're young, you
all right.
You don't
I
understand.
Couldn't tell if in your retweet if you knew it or not. I assumed you did because you are a student of the game, but I thought there was a chance that you just thought it was funny that the guy predicted some crazy score.
No, I know okay. That significance, and it's funny. There's the one, if you follow those game picks, which I don't know that you do because it's more of a social media thing than anything,
yeah.
But there's the one guy, Adam Rank, that is like he's a diehard Bears fan, and he always picks against the Commanders, and it was also, I think it's funny that he is probably walking around furious that he did not come up with a joke of them beating us 73-0.
Got it. All right. Denton joins us every Thursday in this spot. And Denton, not only does he do a college football show on Sirius XM, College Football Overtime, which he's excellent at doing, he is the host of the Washington Commanders pre- and post-game coverage on this station and on 106.7 The Fan. All right. Let's talk some college football. I want to go back to last week. Do you think that Penn State and Florida State are completely done?
Not completely done, but they're in a whole lot of hurt right now. I think they have eliminated any possibility of them controlling their own respective destinies, and they need a lot of things to happen to help them get into the 12. Now, Penn State's in a better spot because if you look at their schedule, they have a lot more opportunities for good quality wins. You know, they get to play Ohio State. So if they beat Ohio State, you look at them a little differently. Now, would I expect Penn State to beat Ohio State? No, I would not. But they have more opportunities than Florida State does. You know, Florida State needs the ACC to crumble if they're going to get in because UVA is pretty good and they have the head-to-head victory. Georgia Tech's pretty good. Miami is really, really good. So I don't know if Florida State, they didn't do themselves any favors as much as Mario Cristobal tried to help them out at the end of the game.
Is James Franklin dead man walking?
No, I don't think so. I think Penn State, the people in charge of the money and the boosters are hopefully smart enough to realize that if you do fire James Franklin, it'll give you momentary joy because, yes, we are finally done with James Franklin. But you have to then get the next guy right. And if you don't get the next guy right, you become what Nebraska has been. You become what Florida has been since Urban Meyer left. It's really not as cut and dry as, well, we're just going to hire somebody and they're going to be awesome immediately. So I think they need to think long and hard about it. I don't think you can just make a crash decision because you lost to a really bad team in UCLA. It's a lot. There's a lot more factors that go into that. And unless you can get someone that you feel confident is a surefire thing, like maybe a Kurt Cignetti, I don't know that you would fire James Franklin.
Those are two interesting comps to go to Nebraska and to Florida as comps for Penn State. I think in both men's basketball and in football, sometimes fan bases just want that immediate satisfaction. And by the way, sometimes it's the right move, especially when it has sort of run its course. And personally, right, I believe James Franklin, it's run its course. But it doesn't mean that there's not a great risk on the other side. And in today's, you know, landscape of salary cap and NIL and the ability, like Texas Tech did this year, to buy a team, it's more competitive out there. And you could fall by the wayside for a few years and yearn for the days in which you lost a close game to Oregon and then lost at UCLA as the number seven team in America. It's true. Did you feel the same way about Vanderbilt that I felt, which is I'm more impressed with them as a team in a 30-14 loss than I was even before that game?
Maybe a little bit. You know, I knew that Alabama was going to win that one. I didn't know they were going to win by as much as they did, but I was jumping around in my living room.
Well, that was a lucky cover, obviously. Yeah.
Thank God for it, though, because it had DeVoy going 4-1 last week. I think Vanderbilt is good, though. You know, offensively, it is all about Diego Pavia, but the SEC is really weird this year, Kevin, because there's not a lot of great offensive lines. You know, Texas's offensive line isn't very good, where traditionally they are. LSU's offensive line is terrible, and traditionally they're pretty good. But I think Vanderbilt is one of the better offensive lines in the SEC, so that to me is what was really, really impressive. Alabama is more talented than they are, but Vanderbilt they got some dog in them, and it's more than just the quarterback this year. Whereas last year was all about Pavia, they've built a culture there to where they're going to be a tough out or a tough game in the months of November and December for some of these SEC teams. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe they stumble their way as a two-loss or maybe the first three-loss team that gets into the playoff.
Do you think Florida is much better than their 2-3 record indicates?
Definitely. If they didn't lose to South Florida, you look at them with a completely different eye. And now they did lose, so you have to factor that into your equation of them. But if they didn't lose that game, they're 3-2 with losses to good teams. Whereas now they're 2-3 with losses. Even, I mean, South Florida is still a good team. I mean, they're ranked once again. They fell out briefly when they lost to Miami, which is what happens when you're a group of five team, but they're now back in the rankings. So really they've lost to three ranked teams and three pretty good teams and three teams that might end up or should end up in the college football playoff. I think they're a lot better. Their schedule is disastrous. I mean, anyone who was intelligent took Florida at the very least on the points. Last weekend, I took them straight up on the money line because I just felt like they were a much better team than their record showed, and the Arch thing is still getting figured out.
So what is the Arch thing? Is it going to get figured out? I mean, he's gone from, you know, a Heisman Trophy favorite to a guy that's being talked about as a day three pick eventually, best case.
Yeah, he's
and not,
fine.
And not in the upcoming draft. I mean,
there's talk about him
perhaps not even being back at Texas next year. So what's going on there?
I'd be curious to see what happens next year if he stays in college, which I am expecting him to stay in college. Look, I think he's fine, but he hasn't played before. You know, he's still very much in what would be considered your – you know, we do this all the time with the NFL where if you only play 12 games 1 year and you go 4 games in before you're done with your rookie year, right? Because you got to play a 16 or 17. That's kind of where he's at. I mean, he's played like 8 games now in college football. Like, it's really not a lot. I think he'll be okay. There was just too much pressure on him at the beginning of the year. And that's not his fault entirely, but that just kind of comes with the territory of having the last name Manning. And then, you know, some of the business moves, he knows, right? Like, that whole family understands what he is, and they used it to their advantage to get some money. But he's a fine quarterback with expectations of being an absolute world beater. And I think that was unfair. I mean, if you bet him to win the Heisman at the beginning of the year, that's on you. No one else. You never bet the Heisman front runner. I mean, you know this. I know this. You never bet the front runner, a preseason Heisman favorite. I just think there was too much pressure on him. And again, the offensive line isn't helping because at times he's running for his life. And that's really difficult when you're getting accustomed to playing in the SEC. It's really good teams and your offensive line isn't protecting you.
Yeah, you know what's interesting in watching him, though? Like, the Manning pedigree and the Manning, you know, football IQ, and there are many games I watch, I'm like, dude, you've got to throw the football. Like, at the end of the Florida game, the ball's got to leave his hand on that final play of the game. And he just seems to be oblivious to some of that stuff.
He's timid.
Yeah.
He still has the yips a little bit. I think he's gotten over it a bit. But in the Ohio State game, it was very, very obvious. And then in some of the lower level games, you're just like, God, you're supposed to be slicing and dicing these teams up. But then you have instances like in that Florida game, that third quarter touchdown pass where he like perfectly climbs the pocket. He's running forward and delivers a pass on the money in the back of the end zone. Like, that's a beautiful throw. So you see these points where you're like, all right, this is why people really thought highly of him. But then you see, as you mentioned, there's a lot more bad right now than there is good.
All right, I want to focus on one team that's quasi-local, and that is UVA, because I actually was listening to you either last weekend or maybe it was after the Florida State win, and you were looking ahead at their schedule with the guy that you were doing the show with on SiriusXM, and I went and looked at it, and I'm like, oh my God, if Virginia beats Louisville, they're going to be in the ACC championship game. They're going to be one win away in the ACC title game, away from a playoff berth. So tell everybody what the opportunity for Virginia is as a 5-1 team, 3-0 in the ACC, tied for first.
Yeah, that win against Florida State put them in a position that they certainly did not anticipate to be in. And I think you're right. If they they beat Louisville, and now you get Washington State. You get North Carolina, California, Wake Forest, Duke, Virginia Tech. I can't think of a better group of teams to play.
Duke's the game, and Cal's pretty good at home, but Duke could be. Duke is 3-0 in the ACC.
Yeah, and that'll be on the road. But I mean, it's not like Duke has this massive, crazy home crowd in football and basketball. Yes, in football, no. So that'll be that one game where you circle and say, "All right, this is deep," and that's where you're going to start to feel a little bit of the pressure, because at that point, we'll be weeks into the college football playoff rankings, and UVA will be, assuming they win up to that point, they're going to be not just in those rankings; they're going to be pretty high in those rankings, and they're going to start to hear that chatter. And as much as coaches say we don't listen to it, you absolutely do. But they're in a position now to where, like North Carolina, I already know Belichick's going to be coaching by then, with like this rumor of him looking for a buyout already. Cal has been a pretty good team, and you do have to travel for that one. The ACC traveling across the country is still a little weird for teams, but they're now in a position with Chandler Morris, and he is really the driving force here. They're in position to make the college football playoff. I do think two ACC teams get in, so as long as they get to the ACC championship game, which they might need a Georgia Tech loss
Let me interrupt you for a second, because that's what I was going to lead to, and we'll have plenty of time to sort this out, and it may not need to be sorted out, because it usually doesn't, but Virginia, Duke, Georgia Tech, and Miami are four teams at the top of the ACC. They're all undefeated. I'm not even counting SMU. And there's very little head-to-head. Like, Miami doesn't play any of the other three. Virginia and Duke play, but Georgia Tech only plays one of the other three. There is the possibility of multiple undefeated teams, more than two, at the top of the ACC. I don't know what the tiebreakers are for the ACC championship game and who would qualify, but it's an interesting situation to keep an eye on when you look at the schedules of teams like Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Miami. Miami doesn't play any of those guys. They don't play Georgia Tech. They don't play Duke.
This is the second year in a row they've had this. Because remember, we got down to the wire
because there's
last
so many
year.
Teams.
There's so many teams, and they somehow all of the good teams never play one another. So at the very least, Duke will either be like really in that conversation or very much out of that conversation, because they're the only team that plays one of the opposite. They play UVA and Georgia Tech. So if they go unbeaten in that, then they'll definitely be in there. If they don't, then they will they will be out. You know, I don't know what exactly the tiebreakers are. I believe it then goes to, it's either points scored or common opponents.
I bet it's ranking. I bet it's college football playoff rankings.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that's a little bit further down because, you know, they have like 18 different legs of these. So I think they focus on some conference stuff first and then they get to the ranking. But at some point, like it literally becomes how many points did you score and how many points did you allow? So for some of these games, like for UVA, as we're talking about them, that game against North Carolina, who's been getting blown out by everybody that has a pulse, you're going to have to crush them. And, like, you're going to need some style points. Same thing with Wake Forest. Same thing with Virginia Tech. It would be in their best interest to really start running the score up if necessary against some of these lesser teams.
Yeah, Virginia can score. They can't stop anybody. But they also scored two defensive touchdowns against Louisville. So that was Louisville had a rough day and a rather unlucky day in that game on Saturday. All right, let's look ahead. Number one, Ohio State and Champaign to face 17th-ranked Illinois. They're a 14.5-point favorite. I think Ohio State's defense is legit, like maybe the best in the country. What do you think about them offensively? Do you think they're going to figure it out?
I think they will, and I don't think that Illinois can stop the wide receivers. The Ohio State is very much in the, hey, we got two guys on the outside that are probably better than just about everybody in the country. We dare you to stop them. If you stop one, we're going to throw to the other. If you try and stop both of them, well, we still have like a third guy or fourth guy that could come in and score, or our guy will use his legs. Like, there's just too much to go around. There's too much talent for Ohio State. And defensively,
is Tate the first round pick?
Yeah, I think he will be.
Because Jeremiah Smith will be the number one pick when he comes out in 27,
yeah.
Right?
Unless some like defensive end goes crazy over the next like 18 months, yeah, he'll be at the very least he's top four for sure, probably top two, because he is excellent. Tate is really good. It's a little bit of a lesser wide receiver class, at least as we sit here now coming out in 2026, but I think he'll be at the top of that. But defensively, they've allowed two touchdowns this entire year.
It's
insane. And it's like the second year in a row that it's been like this. You know, as much as Patricia gets flack in the NFL, most of which is deserved, this dude is basically a god amongst boys in college. I mean, these opposing quarterbacks have no idea what they're looking at when they go up against the Patricia defense. So, you know, best of luck to Luke Altmaier. He's done a really good job in terms of, you know, playing good football outside of that Indiana game. But if you're getting 60 hung on your head top by Indiana, I don't know that Ohio State's going to score 60 on you, but I don't think they're going to have a problem covering the 14.5.
All right, Alabama off the win over Vanderbilt, and this reeks to me. I think I will have Missouri as a smell test pick tomorrow. They're catching 3.5 in Columbia at home. They've got a running back, by the way, who is tearing it up right now through four or five games. His name's Ahmad Hardy. Does Missouri have a chance to beat Bama outright?
They do. Yeah, their quarterback is the guy that was at Penn State and decided to leave before the college football playoff started, just based off of the nature of where the transfer window was, and he kind of had to make that decision. But Bo Preble is a really, really good player. You know, sometimes I look at him and wonder if Penn State wishes they had him, but he's been really, really good. And, you know, Missouri is this weird SEC team because it always feels like they kind of fly under the radar. They're not nearly as sexy as like Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Texas A&M. But Drink has a program, man. I think that's going to be
coach.
A fun one.
Pinkel was a really good coach before him.
He is. And, you know, he does some of the things that are like a little goofy on social media, but he kind of backs it up way more. Like he does some of the stuff that we made fun of Brian Kelly for doing with recruits. He does that as well. But then they outperform what most people think of them. I'll tell you what, if they beat Alabama, one, that puts Alabama in a really tough spot of getting to the college football playoff. But then Missouri really is going to jump the line in terms of the rankings. They're 14th now. I imagine if they beat Alabama, they're at least going to take their spot at 8.
This feels like one of the bigger games Missouri's had in a long, long time. And if you're a college football fan and you watch Missouri, when they're playing at home, it's like a weird camera angle. It's like you're right on the field.
Yeah.
It's a really weird way to watch a game. You're super close to the action. Whereas, by the way, when you're watching Maryland on TV, you're as far away. The shot, wherever that main camera is about as far away as you can get. All right, two games that really are going to highlight Saturday, both at 3:30. The Red River Rivalry Shootout, Oklahoma and Texas. Texas has really struggled this year. Mateer might be back Saturday for Oklahoma, and Texas is favored in this game by 1.5.
Are they still favored at most books? Because I know that number
has been. I saw it fall to a pick at one point. I'll look at it real quickly. They were favored by 1.5 last night. But maybe with Mateer's possibility, maybe it shifted.
Yeah, I think I still see it at 1.5 at one of the books that I use, but at another book, it's 1.5 the other way. So shop around, people. That's word of advice.
Well, you got to be careful now because Oklahoma may get its starting quarterback back for this game.
I think they're bluffing, to be honest. I don't think that he is. I don't think that he's going to be ready. I think this is just the nature of the rivalry. Rivalry is still very much alive in college football. I would be stunned if Mateer plays, and if he does, I think it's going to be much more of him and his legs versus him and his arms. They said something like they're going to see on Friday how he grips the football. And I'm like, if you can't grip the football already, I don't know how much is going to change in 2 or 3 days. I'm not a doctor, but I don't know how much is going to change in 2 or 3 days.
All right, let's assume he doesn't play. How does this game shake out? Oklahoma's pretty good defensively. They've proven that this year.
They have. They're pretty good defensively. The best bet if Mateer doesn't play is the under. It's a very short number. It's like 42.5, 43.5. But both defenses are super, super sharp. Oklahoma, I think, is one of the best defenses in the country. So the under would be the play. But that line, if Mateer does not play, it does feel like Texas would be the go-to there.
All right. Indiana, 7th-ranked team in America with a quarterback by the name of Fernando Mendoza. Know the name. He's a top 10 projected pick now. And the only quarterback that he is now behind is the quarterback he'll be facing in terms of the mock drafts for 2026, and that is Oregon quarterback Dante Moore. How do you see this game playing out in Eugene?
This is going to be a track meet. I think both offenses are really, really good. I think playing at Oregon is a very sneaky, great environment to play in. Like, it's going to be loud. Alton's there's going to be a lot of people there. So I think this is going to be awesome. Indiana is good enough to hang with Oregon. Like, they very much are. What you saw against Illinois was not a fluke. This is a legitimately good football team. It's not Indiana of last year where it's just everyone's kind of happy to see them here because we want new blood. Cignetti's done a really good job using that year and then building off of the momentum. This team is legit, but I just love Oregon. Oregon has been one of my favorite teams this entire year because of Dante Moore. And I think Dan Lanning is so good in late game scenarios. So I like Oregon. I don't like them to lay the 7.5. So I kind of like Indiana with the points, but I do think Oregon's going to win.
I really wish one of these two games was at night. I'll give you just a sneaky one on Saturday night. I think Auburn's got a shot against Georgia at Jordan-Hare.
I do
too. That line's really short.
The lines are really short, and Hugh Freeze needs a big win this year. He was being brought to Auburn to be a guy that beats the big, big, bad SEC teams. Georgia is a little bit more limited this year than they've been in years past. That's a sneaky one. And then USC Michigan is a little sneaky. USC's laying 2.5 at home.
Yeah, I think that's right, though. What do you think the number should be?
I thought it would be a little bit closer to a pick'em. I think immediately people will see that. I don't disagree with the number, but I think the people will see that 15th-ranked Michigan is the underdog, and the public is going to flock to Michigan.
Maiva is now a projected first-round pick. Have you seen that, the USC quarterback?
I haven't looked at a mock draft lately. I'd be curious to see how many quarterbacks they have in there and then how many quarterbacks are actually, you know, projected first.
Well, all the quarterbacks in there now are completely different than the quarterbacks that were in there 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago before the season started, which tells you a lot about college football this year. A lot of unexpected. Last question for you. Does Notre Dame have a chance to make the playoff?
Yeah, they do. As much as I want them in a conference. They're not going to get in a conference. There's no benefit to them to getting in a conference. They do have a shot, though. I think that Penn State loss helped them a little bit because, you know, anytime you get more good teams with two losses, that kind of opens the door a little bit for other good teams with two losses. So I do think there's an opportunity. They, though, I would say they need USC this weekend. They need as many ranked opponents on their schedule to close, and they have USC next week. So if USC wins, that'll drastically help them. And then as crazy as it sounds, there is still some sort of potential, maybe, just maybe, that Navy is ranked in November, and that would help them as well. They need a couple of quality wins.
Their running back tandem of Love and Price, it's the best.
So Jeremiah Love is probably my really favorite.
Say that again.
Jeremiah Love is probably my favorite running back in college football
he
right now.
So good, and I think their team is good. I mean, they have a 3-point loss on opening weekend to Miami and a 41-40 crazy loss in South Bend to Texas A&M when they botched the extra point, you know, hold late in the game.
Right.
I could easily see them running the table and winning every – I mean, they're a 24-point favorite over NC State on Saturday. All right. I'll talk to you. I'm sure we'll be texting over the weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Yes.
At the Denton Day, everybody on X on Twitter. He'll be back Monday, with Linnell and everybody to host the pre and post game shows right here on the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan. Charch, Paul Charchi and Fantasy Football Talk next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.